Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Day 3 of Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year Rundown 2015. I'm your host Mark Packham. Joining me this evening is Matt Knight.
Hello.
And Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Shalom.
It turns out I've completely forgotten how to start a podcast after doing three today.
What I realise is we should probably have said, if you have listened, if you've just downloaded today and you've not listened to the previous two,
you should definitely do that.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, I will call the file day three, so yes. Hopefully people will be clever enough. I respect our listeners enough that they all go, maybe this is the third one in a series of some
just
more
like
ones.
Listen to
the it could be like a, it could be like a movie where it's, you know, it
maybe
starts 3 days
cool.
before and then, you know, it builds up to the climactic.
Can we work out the machete order for
these podcasts?
Well, whichever
I couldn't remember
on,
the machete
sure
order. My girlfriend's finally agreed to sit down and watch Star Wars with me.
4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
Yeah, you right, ignore okay. one and
yeah,
you start
that's
with
a, that's
yeah.
it. I wanted to
start,
ignore one.
Yeah,
but
so
I didn't.
Yeah, New Hope.
That's good. That's a good order because
and then
I was concerned.
Is that the Gear of the Year category, is it?
Yeah.
I was concerned about...
Do you ignore the first one?
Star Wars film of the year.
I was going to start it like in the... Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then I was like, "Oh, I can't let one be the first one she sees."
Yeah,
and I was trying to remember what the order is. And New Hope is definitely the right first one.
Yeah, because Star Wars is about the chosen one, which is Luke. So you've got to start.
Spoilers.
It's not a spoiler.
You'll be fine. Anyway, so today we are running down 2015's best pedal and weirdest gear 2015. On previous days, as Jay mentioned, we've done best guitar, best other thing, best amp, and 2015's best product of 2014. Do go back to the previous episodes to listen to the winners, and we will recap that at the end of this podcast as we prepare to dive into another day of deliberations and then the final. So, best pedal. We're going to run this one slightly different to how we've been doing the previous categories. I'm going to read them all out, and I want you to say keep or cut.
Are you going to do it as we go through?
Yes, I'm going to read them, and I want you to say keep or cut, and then we'll whittle this list, because the list on this one is massive compared
like
to everything
20
else.
Things.
And the difficult thing is with pedals is there's so many companies out there have made so many awesome
pedals, and we've tried to get a kind of smattering of some more mainstream stuff and some more like kind of boutique-y stuff. So, right, let's go down the list. Boss DD500.
Cut. Should we just say cut?
I think it's
all
fair to say we're going to keep the DD500. It's been quite popular. Dunlop Crybaby Mini.
Are we not even saying a little bit about them? No.
No. Well, we're probably not going to
have time.
What we will do once the list is kind of trimmed down a little.
Fine.
So, Boss DD500.
Keep.
Dunlop Crybaby Mini.
Keep.
Yeah, I guess so.
TC Electronic Viscous Vibe.
I own one, but I'm actually going to say cut.
Yeah, I'm going to say cut.
It's a great pedal, but yeah, it's not. I think innovation is probably what we're looking for in pedals.
Oh,
I guess
maybe we'll see.
Well, I guess we'll see. Yeah, I'm cool with a cut on the Viscous Vibe.
Ibanez Tube Screamer Mini.
Cut.
Keep.
So two keeps and a cut. So I'm saying we'll keep. Wampler DB Plus.
Cut.
It gets cut.
Yeah.
TC Electronics Helix Phaser.
Cut.
It's not a very good phaser. I'm going to say cut just on the same reason that we cut.
There are better phasers out there.
Strymon Dig.
Keep.
Keep. Two keeps. We keep it. Boss SY300.
Keep.
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 Okay. Mm. Keep. The Montreal Assembly count to five.
Keep. Keep. We should discuss that.
Yeah, we will. We'll discuss it when we keep them.
Yeah, right.
Dodd Meat Box.
Keep. Keep.
Cut.
Keep. No way. Keep. That pedal is winning.
There is actually an argument here for that to be moved from best pedal to best bass product. Because
actually, I must admit, and the reason I would say that is that it doesn't sound great on guitar at all.
But I hear it's very good on bass.
It is the best pedal.
I vote we move it because I was actually going to say cut. So to right, let Joe okay. fight his
I was
corner.
Only going to say cut to noise him up. Because that whole deco
It's got more chance of winning something, I guess.
Indeed, but yeah, okay. So MXR Carbon Copy Bright.
Keep.
Keep.
Cut.
The magnet. So that's a keep, by the way. Magnetic White Atom Fuzz.
Keep.
Cut.
Keep.
Oh, okay. The Way Huge Blue Hippo Chorus.
Cut.
Cut.
Oh man.
Oh, it goes.
I really like
it. It's a great pedal, and we did.
Is it a cut if it's a draw? Yeah.
I'm not having a say in this. I'm leaving it down to you guys. So that is a cut. Mooga Fooga MF Flange.
Cut.
Cut.
The Earthquaker Interstellar Orbiter.
Cut.
Cut.
We lose it. Line 6 Helix.
Keep.
Keep.
Keep. So two keeps. So
Joe didn't even have a say.
It doesn't matter if you get two.
Exactly. Yeah. Ooh, I've copied that.
I'd have cut it because
it's worth mentioning. We've got a big spreadsheet going. So if you hear me, typing, that's why. So the rundown thus far is Boss DD500, Dunlop Crybaby Mini, Line 6 Helix, Ibanez Tube Scooper Mini, Strymon Dig, Boss SY300. Montreal Assembly Count to 5, MXR Carbon Copy Bright, and the Magnetic White Atom Fuzz. Is there anything that we've missed? Anything else that came out this year that deserves to be on that list?
I've certainly thought of some other pedals, but to be honest, I'm looking down that list and I'm going, there's things I've tried on that I've gone, in terms of like being a new product and doing something different and being like,
We did
interesting. I think there's a good range of products.
The Ranger Effects pedal was on the list earlier. Did we agree?
The
not
Ranger
to that?
I put under Weirdest Gear because kind of want to talk about it quite a bit, and I think it deserves to be in Weirdest Gear more than it does in Best Pedal, because I don't think it's one of the best pedals this year.
Right, okay.
I do think it's one of the weirdest, so I put it in that category.
Okay, fine.
So
just before we move in,
yes.
Can I put forward, whilst I'm not going to suggest something that should be in there, a notable omission from this is there's no electroharmonics.
There is no electroharmonics.
That is because they just do lots of stuff and it's all okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've released some like quite cool stuff this year. You know, they've released some quite cool stuff this month. You know,
yeah.
There's the Cockfight has come out. The Crayon has come out. But have they done anything? What about the Keen? Oh, you've got the Keen 9 in the...
Keen 9 is in Weirdest Gear this year. Because they took a bit of a detour, I think, electroharmonics this year.
Yeah, so it's very odd because, you know, I can't remember offhand, but presumably last year we had a bunch of EHX pedals.
I think the thing is, I don't think there's been a lot of pedals. There's been a lot of great pedals, but I don't think there's been a standout pedal.
Every single one of these is in its field.
The only thing that's really stood out for me is the Nanopog, but it's just a micropog and a small box.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well,
I agree. I think last year they had a supreme year. This year they've been doing some iterations and making things smaller and doing like other projects like the Keynine and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So no electroharmonics, which is very surprising.
That's
wild. So let's do just one last pass. Is there anything there that we think is debatable for it being on that list?
Montreal and the...
I'd say Tube Screamer Mini, but... Because I just... The Tube Screamer Mini's great, but it is a mini...
Just another...
But a lot of people are saying it is a better Tube Screamer.
Yeah, I know. I suppose it isn't exactly the same in terms of its sound, but I just think there's other overdrives out there. There's a lot of overdrives out there, and I don't think it would be in my top five pedals purely because I think there's better overdrives that probably aren't on this list that came out this year. That if I was going to buy one, I'd probably buy one of the other ones. I didn't blow me away when I plugged it in. I thought, cool, Tube Screamer. great.
I could be
mini pedal,
I could
size.
Be swayed by that argument. I think it's a great pedal, and I think definitely worthy mention of this year. This year was the year that the Tube Screamer Mini came out, and in less than 12 months it's become the most popular Tube Screamer for people to buy. So it is a great pedal. I'm not sure how much further it can go
maybe
in comparison to things like the Dig and the
The thing that I wonder about the Tube Screamer Mini is how many people are actually now buying regular Tube Screamers still, because apparently, I mean, it's been a while since I've heard the Tube Screamer Mini. I heard it at launch, but a lot of people say it's the best sounding. It's obviously smaller, it's regular 9 volt, so it's kind of the best one of its product type. You know, if you're looking at actual Ibanez Tube Screamers,
the thing that's odd though is it's the 808, it's not the 9, and the 9 is the more popular one
for people driving their amplifiers
traditionally.
I think it's funny really, because before, you know, we were saying earlier about the clones and the Soul Food, and then people are moving on to this Dumble thing, and I think before the clone it was like, got to get that classic Tube Screamer sound.
Yeah. That was,
and
that
I almost
the
think that
thing.
The Tube Screamer thing has almost had its day, and this is a cool revival of that product for a small spacing, because, you know, it's a cheaper product. You know, an 808 reissue is now going to start to set you back nearly £200.
Yeah.
And you look at £200 and you look at some of the other things you can buy out there for £200, you think, actually, there's better products out there. I wouldn't say it was worthy of a top five position.
Are we in agreement that the Tube Screamer Mini needs to go? Is there anything else on that list that people are thinking probably wouldn't make it into their top five?
The White Atom?
No, I think
you guys are crazy.
It's
I think
a great it's fuzz.
It's just another it's a, fuzz.
No, really, there's no good thing. Though, fuzz is the best sounding effect there is.
I mean, that's definitely not true.
But it's also, it's not just another fuzz. In the two types of transistors that are in there.
Yeah, I think that's very cool.
Mean that you get a big blend, and you get like everywhere from like Big Muff type sounds right through to almost like classic overdrive sounds, right through to your 8-bit sounds, which a lot of pedal manufacturers would split out into different
into
pedals.
Different pedals. Yeah, I understand. I do understand that. I think that a fuzz pedal is the best pedal of the year? I'd find that difficult to...
I don't
to,
know. I'm not saying it's the...
Could it hang in the top five? I think so. It could.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I would almost... Don't know, maybe this is a bit controversial, but maybe I'd almost say that the SY300.
That was going to be my next recommendation.
I was almost going to say cut on the SY300 when we came round to it. And the only reason I think I said keep was because it warranted at least some discussion. Because it's a really interesting new pedal. I'm not going to buy it.
I've certainly
really care
seen
about
on
that
some,
sort of thing.
Some boards and people using it in conjunction with things like the ESA. And it's great that it doesn't need a special pickup, but it's almost too big as a product.
Yeah.
And I think if they put that down into the normal double pedal size, people would start to go, wow, this is a cool synthesizer pedal that's not like anything else out on the market. But the problem is, it's double the size of that, and it's also double the price.
You have to really commit to owning a SY300.
Because I thought about it, and I tried it. I was like,
you've
got
to really want to make your guitar sound like a synthesizer.
Yes.
But, you know, you had to really commit when, you know, you were buying, when people who wanted to buy something like this were buying a VG99 for £1,000 or whatever.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
Even an Electro-Harmonix Microsynth at £200, you've got to commit to that sort of sound.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that if they'd have done it at the cost of what a DD500 is, I think we'd be having a different conversation.
I think it's a little price prohibitive for people wanting to kind of dabble in synth stuff. Like, you need to, like you say, you really need to want to make your guitar sound like a synth, and it does what it does very well. Is it a top five product this year? I'm not sure it is. Yeah. I think there's things out there that have a broader appeal, but also nail their kind of niche as well as the SY300 does.
Yeah.
So we're saying SY300 is eliminated.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're down to Boss DD500. Dunlop Crybaby Mini, Line 6 Helix, Strymon Dig, Montreal Assembly Counter 5, MXR Carbon Copy Bright, and the Magnetic White Atom.
So how many is that? Seven?
Seven. So we need to cut two.
Two more.
Personally, I'm a bit disappointed that there was only two products this year called the Helix. I think it would have been better if...
There's maybe
I'm surprised Electro Harmonix didn't do one. You know, they seem to be really into naming their pedals after other things.
Indeed. Where do we stand on the Helix? Because there was some discussion as to whether it is actually a pedal. And see, obviously, form factor, it is a pedal.
I think it should have gone in other gear, other things. Yeah, me too. Personally.
It's an X because, effect.
Yeah, it is. And, well, it's a hybrid of a lot of things, and it does a lot. And, you know, you talk about wanting to commit to making your guitar sound like a synthesizer. You, with the Helix, you've kind of got to commit to, like, really investing in the sort of the Line 6 brand and the Line 6 way of doing things. I think that it's probably the best multi-effects pedal. It is the best multi-effects pedal on the market. Hands down, it is the best multi-effects pedal on the market right now. Is it, you know, does it have a broad enough appeal for it to justify the £1,000 that you need to outlay on it to make it the best thing? I think that's what you need to discuss.
I would say it's definitely a top five product, though, because I think this year it's, you know, in terms of its cost against other products of a similar thing and being an all floor based unit rather than being a separate rack and then a MIDI control that you've got to program. I think the fact that it's touched, you know, you can have it on a table in front of you and you can touch all the buttons and touch sensors. Really easy. Every button has got its own little screen for what exactly you're doing.
Yeah.
I think it makes life much easier in terms of editing. Because I would say, even though it's a great product, to cut it down even more for the same reason of the Tube Screamer, I would even say Crybaby Mini. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a top five product purely because it's great space saver. It gives people more access to the wah pedal, but
it's just a wah pedal.
It is just a wah pedal.
Can I go at it from a slightly different angle? We have three.
No, Jay, they only sit at one angle. That way. Or
we
that
have
way.
Three.
That's two angles.
We have three delay pedals on this list.
No.
That's
we
not
have,
enough.
We have delay three pedal. Delay pedals on this list. I think an easy way to. An easy thing to do is to chop one of those.
We need to lose a delay, I think.
No way. They're all great delays.
You think all three should be in the top five?
I think the DIG, the DD500 and the Montreal Assembly are all really unique and really brilliant.
And the Carbon.
And the Carbon. I was thinking about the Carbon Copy.
Oh, right. Let's definitely ditch the Bright. Because
really? No, see, I'd say that's not.
I think, for me, Strymon and DIG out of those three, because...
I agree.
I think it had the least impact out of... I'm not talking about the Count to Five, because that's very different. It's very boutique. But the DD500, I think, does pretty much everything the DIG does, plus a lot more. I think the Carbon Copy Bright is a brilliant iteration on an already amazing product. And I know that in the past we've slated things for being like, oh, it's just something that already exists with some tweaks. They are quite different.
And people would have both on their pedal board.
I also think it's quite a bit better. Like, I think that is subjective, but I much prefer the Carbon Copy Bright to the regular Carbon Copy.
From a bass player's perspective, I think the original Carbon Copy is better. Just because
it's darker, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. But certainly, you know, when we were shooting the demos for it, yes, the Carbon Copy Bright sounds great. So do lots and lots and lots of other delay pedals, including all of the ones that we've spoken about, and they will do a ton more.
But there are very few analog delay pedals out there that are as accessible as this.
And that's,
you know, I think,
agreed. Really, really easy to use. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And not just that, price. You know, and you can pick one up in pretty much any shop in any, like, you can pick one up in pretty much any town in the country.
And it comes in a funky green colour.
It does come in a slightly brighter green.
It's a very nice green. Very nice green. All right, well, I mean, fine.
I mean, I would personally rather have
the DIG
all three.
And the DD are very similar. And I think the DD500 is better than the DIG.
I think that's the weird thing, is that the DIG came out and they kind of, you know, teased a few shots of the pedal.
I thought the launch was brilliant.
But the thing was, is the launch was brilliant, but then I think people kind of went, well, actually, like, I don't really want that
80s delay. Yeah.
No, people want 80s delay, but people have already got a timeline.
A timeline, yeah, absolutely.
And I know it does a couple of different things, but people, if they want their high quality digital delay, also tend to want a tape delay, or some people have just got old rack. The people who bought them had the old rack units they want in a smaller box, and I think that actually, following on from the Deco, people wanted something different, and I think some people were hoping for tremolo, some people were hoping for pitch, you know, something that's breaking them into a different area rather than going another delay.
I think the Dig is the prime candidate for cutting here. I have to admit, like,
it's a great product. I can't deny it.
The DD500 can do a lot of those sounds as well, can't it?
Yeah. In fact, the DD500, which we'll go into, and I think this is one thing that's been overlooked, has got better processing than anything else pretty much out on the market. It's higher quality in terms of its sort of processing than the Strymon.
And they're not too different price wise, are they? I guess.
In fact, the DD500s are slightly cheaper.
Are they? Okay. So I'm saying that we cut the Dig. Is everyone happy with that?
Yeah, I would agree.
So
with
we've
that.
Got to cut one more.
We've got to cut one more. So let's just do a quick recap on the list. So we've got Boss DD500, Crybaby Mini, Line 6 Helix, Montreal Assembly Counter 5, the MXR Carbon Copy Bright, and the Magnetic White Atom. Jay, if you had to cut one of those, what would it be?
I would cut the Fuzz.
Matt Knight?
I would cut the Crybaby Mini.
I would also cut the Mini.
I hate to say it, I think I would cut the Crybaby Mini. Cool. I do like one, and I kind of do want one, because I've got a Crybaby on the board. Hmm. It's too big, and the Crybaby Mini sounds better, but if I had to lose a pedal on my board, I'd just not have a wah.
Yeah, of course. It's certainly the least exciting pedal.
Let's not say
anything bad about it. I have no idea why that isn't the standard size for wahs. It just makes so much sense. It's just
a historical thing, isn't it? They were built out of old
bus parts.
They were built out of the number 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. So, we're down to the 5. Boss DD500. Line 6 Helix, Montreal Assembly Counter 5, MXR Carbon Copy Bright, and the Magnetic White Atom.
Mm.
What do we think about the fifth place?
I would say in terms of like a usable and accessible pedal, but not necessarily groundbreaking, would probably be the Counter 5, because I've got one and I love it. What? But it's just a great pedal to have on your board.
No
but it's
way
not
can
safe.
That be 5. Come on,
I don't know. Maybe the Carbon Copy Bright then sounds great, but it's a tweaked Carbon Copy. We love the Carbon Copy, but the Bright is just a tweaked version. And yes, you'd have both on your pedal board, but would you necessarily put it in the top 3 best pedals of this year?
See, I'm not actually hugely married to any of these pedals.
I'm completely the other way. At least 3 of them I think I might buy in the next 12 months.
I mean, would you...
I know what those are.
Yeah, they're the 3 cheap ones.
For me, on the 5th on that list, without a doubt, would be the Line 6 Helix. Because I have absolutely no use for it. I think there's other products out there doing the amp modelling better in a...
I don't think there is, actually.
I think the thing is with the Helix is that you've got to be invested in not buying multiple pedals.
And I think that was the best point we've raised whilst talking about the Helix, is that you... I can't remember which one of you said it,
but it was me, obviously.
You have to buy into Line 6 as a brand.
Yeah.
And you have to be completely bought into them. And it doesn't allow any creativity.
Yeah. Well, it does because you can patch stuff in.
But you're investing £1,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're investing £1,000 in something you plug in, ideally into like an FIFR like powered cab.
Yeah,
and that you sit and program sounds, and you know you're not necessarily tied to those sounds, but you're investing all your time in one unit. And I think the great thing about pedals now, there being so much, is that you can pick and choose so many different things to create your own sort of palette of sounds. Where the Helix, everything is on there, and there's great sounds on there. You can't bring in anything else.
Exactly. And there are people for who that is, the Helix is ideal for. We're not claiming to speak for everyone. We speak for the 4 of us, and I think that we are not the sort of people that would want to
sit down and program.
It's just not the right product for us. Mm. So for that reason, I'd happily sit it in 5th.
I would be happy with the Helix in 5th. Jay?
I would agree.
Yeah, I'm
are you sure? You look...
You want that White Atom is low down on the list.
Not at all. That's not it. You know, I can't really get involved in discussions about fuzz, because I don't really like fuzz pedals.
Okay.
I've never really liked fuzz pedals. I think they're too... It's too much for I'm not really into the glitchy...
But that's what I like about the White Atom, you can dial it back.
I understand that as well. I do get it. I really do. I think the Helix is... I think we're getting a bit... It is very difficult, because we're all very much into individual pedals. And the Helix is so far away from, you know, we're into individual pedals and cool amps.
Yeah.
And the Helix is so far away from that.
Yeah.
It's so far away from that. It is, you know, it's a unit unto itself, you know. You've just got to buy into that way of thinking. And I think that it's difficult for us to, you know, the Helix is perfect if you're a session musician. The Helix is perfect if you're in a wedding band or if you're in a covers band.
Is it? It's £1,000.
You know how much money these wedding bands get?
Yeah, I know. But if it was £500, I think I'd be willing to sort of put aside my feelings on individual pedals and cool amps and say, well, this is, you know, a great alternative solution. I just think for £1,000.
I mean, I felt about that. I thought that with the G system, the TCG system, which was that sort of money. You know, that was £1,200 5 years ago. You know,
a lot of
money. This is a much, much better product, so much easier to use. You know, you've got to compare this to Axe FX, which will set you back, what, £3,000?
Yeah.
You know, £2,000-£3,000.
Although, the thing that I feel about this is they, by putting everything in there, they've limited themselves to a much smaller market. So I think that, firstly, a lot of session guys still want single pedals. I don't think they actually want something like this. I think, particularly live, like, people like the pedals that they use and they build a pedal board around that. I think for a covers band, yes, maybe this is quite a good product.
But so is the Boss ME80.
Completely.
Yeah.
For studio recording, I think people would much prefer something like a Kemper, where they can actually model the sounds of amps perhaps they already own. So I'm thinking of someone who's actually in a studio, they've got an amp collection, they want to downsize and use something that uses digital modelling perhaps. Or they can trade patches with their mates who also work in recording studios. I'm not sure what the Helix is aimed at. I don't know who is going to buy one. People who are very well off in covers bands, I think, are the only...
Yeah. And like, people who use very, very high-gain metal stuff. You know, people who, like, you know, we're very removed from that metal world, from that sort of gent world. But, like, and I realised that the sort of... people are moving away from Axe FX in general, but I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that they're bloody hard to program.
It's not that. I think it's just that they're not as accessible as other products.
You can't walk into a shop and try one.
You can't walk into a shop and try one, and that is difficult, but they sell them on the back of everyone else using them, and people that are buying them are into bands who are also using them, and they're going, oh, well, I can get that sound, where someone might actually walk into a store, try a Helix, and, you know, go, oh yeah, that's the product for me. And I think and it speaks for itself, the fact that no one's really had a demo one because they've all been pre-sold and they can't keep up the orders.
Absolutely.
But I wouldn't say it should be any higher than
five. We think we're going at five.
That's cool. I just wanted to have the discussion about it more than anything.
Well, of course, we have to reason out why we're doing these things. So the fourth spot, what does everyone think?
I don't know.
Should we start talking about a top three rather than the fourth?
Yeah, I mean, up to you. What would you, out of what we got left, what doesn't make it into your top three, Joe?
Well, what is the
top three?
Yeah.
What is the top three?
What is the top three?
By proxy, because like I say, I mean, I'm not hugely into fuzz, and it's not... You know, I do get why this is a bit different. For me, it's, you know, it is. Maybe I need to plug it in and spend a bit of time with it. But
well, this is it. The three of us.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans.
To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We'll try
it. Yeah. I would say, for me, my favourite of these is the carbon copy.
Okay.
Once again, J-Cross, the man with the least pedals, picking the safest thing on this top
yeah,
five.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other thing is, though, is, and this might sound a bit controversial, but I'm not sure I really like the DD500.
Okay.
I just... It was kind of... It was brought out as a mate. Mate's shaking his head. I mean, his head might fall off his neck. It's shaking so much.
Put the butter knife down, Matt.
It was brought out to be a competitor to the timeline and to the time factor. I mean, okay, maybe it wasn't brought out to be a competitor.
If it's
actually,
that,
I think it was.
If it's into that product group.
Yes. So, you know, it's up. If you're looking at that, you know, the other options you've got if you want something like that are a timeline. You've got a time factor. You've got a space, an eventide space.
I think the thing is, what you've got to bear in mind, though, is this is, you know, what we've said about things like the ES8 is that Boss have looked into these products. They've almost got the advantage because they're bringing out these products much later than, you know.
Yep.
Eventide Time Factor's been out for probably 5 years now. Yep. Timeline's been out for 4. The DD500 does more than all of those.
Yes.
The fact that, you know, so on the ES8 you've got a function called assign, which allows you to assign one button to do up to 12 things at once, via MIDI, patching in loops, using an internal expression pedal.
Yeah.
You've got up to 8 assigns on the DD500, so one, you can actually change what the functions and the buttons do, and one button can do up to 8 parameters at once.
Yes.
So having things like instant halftime on things like your delay, and also not just going, oh, well, what we're going to do is we're going to do an analog and a tape. Yeah, that's fine. They all do that. They're focused on doing all of their classic digital delay sounds and things like the Terra Echo, you know, special effects, things like the shimmer, filters, and just being able to, like, do a multitude of different things via MIDI, I think, is a big thing that they've kind of bought into that.
I think just for that alone, the fact that it is taking on its Boss, who are traditionally quite conservative in what they've done,
and the change of design, they actually went out there and went, actually, we're going to go away from this compact, you know, realistically the Boss pedal design, the compact pedal design is probably the best pedal design out there in terms of just how solid it is, how it works, and how reliable it is, and have gone, actually, what we need is to put it in a different type of box so we can add more features, more foot switches, and change it around with a bigger screen. And, you know, they've also got the advantage of it being a more modern product, having a much better processor,
better screen,
yeah,
but like you say, yeah, compatibility with the ES8.
So we still have done top three.
Jay, top three.
Top three would be
3-2-1 in that order.
3-2-1, DD500, count to 5, carbon copy.
I would do 3-2-1. I think I would do count to 5, White Atom DD500.
Joe Branton.
I'd probably go White Atom DD500 and then count to 5.
Wow. So I think the, judging by your responses and kind of what I think, the count to 5 needs to sit at number 2.
Yeah, in the middle.
Happy with that. It's
so what's in number 4? So number 4 is the carbon copy.
Carbon copy bright, I think.
Yeah, because none of us mentioned that.
I said it was number 1.
Did you?
I did.
Listening. I don't listen to your opinions, Jack.
I guess it comes down to what I have picked, I think. Alright, here's what I would think. So my top three, I think, would be the White Atom, the Count to 5, and the DD500. DD500 being number 1. So
I'd be happy with the DD500 victory.
So that makes that number 1.
Okay, so we'll do a DD500 at number 1. Congratulations, DD500.
And then I think it makes the Count to 5 number 2.
And then
the carbon copy number 3.
I think it was White Atom at number 3, wasn't it? Because these two didn't mention it, and I didn't mention it.
Well, but I put it top.
So
you lose.
So, in theory, unless there's any last-minute changes, we have Line 6 Helix at number 5.
Oh, I've got a quick change. I think
Carbon Copy
should be number 1. Can I edit this? I think I can.
Carbon Copy Right at number 4. Number three, magnetic effects, white atom fuzz. Stop changing things in the spreadsheet. Number two, the Montreal Assembly Counter 5 and the Boss DD500. How does that sit with everyone? I really
I think that's great. I'm happy with that.
I'm happy with democracy.
A Montreal Assembly and a DD500 in the top two. I think if you think
one
about
of the most
year,
outrageous, out there boutique effects on the market.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that pedal is unlike anything else
in the market.
I don't
think we've actually spoken about at all about what it does.
In previous podcasts.
Yeah,
but
maybe a quick
A quick overview. It's a looper, a three-mode looper that effectively records the sounds and then allows you to alter the time, pitch, and direction of the loop.
Yeah.
So you can record an eight.
That not number one?
I know. Yeah, exactly. So you can record like an 8-second loop, and then you can record it. Will basically record it three times,
or you can quantize it in three different modes.
Yeah, and then you can actually quantize the pitch, and then change the speed and the direction. You can have three loops, each going in a different direction at a different time.
It's kind of like how with the SY300, everything you record goes through the signal gets split three ways and goes through three.
To be built by a guy who basically builds them out of his garage, and just kind of and sells them on a blog. It doesn't even have
a blog.
I had to email him to put a deposit down, and he just sent me a PayPal link.
Like just stamped on in like courier fonts.
I really want one. But
they're actually a really solid, well-built unit, because on the back plate, count to five is actually engraved on the back and then painted in.
Right.
Everything feels really solid.
The
only reason I didn't put it at number one is purely because I think it is highly unique, and I think you kind of have to really work with it, where I think you could plug in the DD500.
The DD500 is something that I think everyone can.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great top two, considering what won last time.
Yeah.
Then I think, you know, just brilliant that we've got another two really high-quality, high-end pedals coming.
So, best pedal of the year, 2015. Number five, the Line 6 Helix. Number four, the MXR Carbon Copy Bright. Number three, the respectable Magnetic Effects White Atom. Number two, Montreal Assembly Counter 5. And number one, best pedal of 2015, the Boss DD500.
Bang.
Strong showing for Roland and Boss this year, just looking down the list. The Boss ESA, the Roland JC40, and the DD500 are all going to be in the running.
Imagine that as a rig.
Wait, did the ES8 win its category?
It did. It did.
That's so bad.
I hope
my Roland t-shirts are turning up in the post, you know?
Yeah.
I'd like to reiterate the fact that I don't like the DD500. Just in the interest of parity.
The great thing is, you could, you know, you plug your guitar, which was the what was our guitar winner? It was the
2016 traditional,
the Roland GA Strat.
You put it into your ES8, use the patches on that to control the DD500 via MIDI stereo out into your JC40 for an incredible stereo rig.
That is a great rig.
And while you're listening to your stereo on your Fly 3,
Joe Branton hates.
So the DD500 and the Montreal Assembly Counter 5 join the rest of that stuff in the final, which we're going to be doing on the final day of this countdown. We've also got weirdest gear coming up in this episode. Let's have a break. We'll come back and we'll do 2015's weirdest gear. And we're back talking about 2015.
And we're back. What was that?
What?
And we're back.
That was good.
What?
Come
I didn't
on.
Do anything weird.
Yeah, no,
but fine. I'll tell you what is weird.
What?
2015's weirdest gear.
Weirdest gear.
It's a real short category this time around. This
weirdest
year,
gear. Is that, it like luminous cocaine?
That doesn't make any sense. Well, it does make sense. Just not a good joke.
No.
Bit of a short category, because there hasn't actually been that much weird stuff released this year. We've got four things on here, and we'll do a little rundown. I think what we just need to do is select a winner and a runner-up, basically. We don't need to do a top five for this. We can't, because there aren't five things. So, first up, the Digitech Trio, Digitech's kind of band emulator. The Electro-Harmonix Key 9, which is their, I guess, a piano simulator. The Akpad MIDI controller, which is a MIDI controller you attach to the front of an acoustic guitar.
You may have seen the video floating around.
Indeed. It was Kickstarter project released this year. And the Ranger FX Echo X plus Igor, or Igor. So, what are we thinking? Digitech Trio, obviously, is quite...
Should we talk through each one sort of briefly?
Let's do it. So, what are your experiences so far with the Digitech Trio?
Very good, apart from a lot of people think it's a looper, and it isn't a looper.
Okay.
What do you mean?
So it doesn't actually loop your guitar sound. What it does, you basically...
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't, and that's the big thing.
Oh, it... Yeah, okay.
What it does is it learns the
what
guitar chords you put into it.
Creates a loop of bass and drums.
Yes. Bass and drums based on those chord changes. So what works really well is actually having it after a looper, learning, playing chords, or actually... In fact, what actually kind of works better is going into a looper, looping your... four chords, whatever, and then hitting learn on the trio afterwards, so then you can use a looper and trio in conjunction for
so you can still have guitar sounds, and then you can play over the top as well.
But an amazing bit of kit for just writing, for ideas, and actually, you know, just for jamming, that is a little bit different to a looper. I mean, it is a pretty, I'm gonna be honest, the drum sounds aren't great, the bass sounds aren't fantastic, but in terms of like an ideas machine, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Great. I think a really useful home use tool. I was a bit like, oh, what is this when it came out? But for the money you spend, I think, innovative and a good next step. I mean, that's damn clever that you can play four chords into it and it writes a drum part and a bass line. And the sounds aren't amazing, but then it's not designed for stadium use, is it? You know, it's a great writing tool, I should say.
I could see that at Wembley.
As we do every year, I think we need to define what we're looking for in the weirdest gear category.
Yeah, because the only thing I'd say...
Is it weird enough?
It's pretty damn unusual.
I suppose it's weird, but...
There's nothing else
it's
like
not,
it.
It's not an effect, in a sense, is it? It doesn't do anything
it's to not
your
doing,
guitar
it doesn't have to be
sound.
An
I know, but it doesn't do anything to your guitar sound. I don't think it adds anything to a performance... Is it anything new? Yes, in terms of making something on the fly. But then there's also a lot of good software out there that...
I think it's weird in the way that now, if you walked into a junk shop and you saw, like, a electroharmonics, that clap effect or whatever that... Yeah. Or the whatever it's called, the space drum. Or if you saw one of those kicking around... Like, back in the day, that was meant as, like, an actual performance tool. If you saw one kicking around in a junk shop now, you'd be like, oh, that's weird. I think the Digitech Trio could have that in a few years' time.
I agree.
It's kind of sort of thing that you'd stumble on and be like, do people actually use this?
But I agree, it is almost a little bit outdated. Like, Matt's exactly right. Like, who's using outboard stuff to write anymore? Like, everyone's just using their computers and software and the massive amount of stuff, the unending amount of stuff that you have access to.
Things like Easy Drummer, where you basically tell it a genre and it goes, right, okay, well, here's all the drum loops I've got in that genre. And then you can really dig down to narrow it down to a couple of things. It then plays the loop on a virtual kit, and then you can actually take individual hits out and you can create extensive real life performance drums that vary in like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
you know, and I know maybe that's not as easy as
just,
you know,
playing
on that, but
if the trio had come out 10 years ago,
some people are quite computer adverse though, aren't they? A lot of people wouldn't ever set that up, whereas this, you can literally just plug a guitar in and you've got a drummer and a bass player backing up your tunes, you know.
True.
And like the drums sound a bit rubbish.
Yeah, they do
but
sound
but I think the bass sounds really good. Yeah. I think it's quite interesting actually, the way that the bass and I can see Joe try to hold back thinking that a punk is smiling at drums.
No, I was actually really impressed with the bass as well. They're all walking bass lines on there, and just the fact that it's intelligent enough to root around the scales that are being used behind those chords, I think is great. It doesn't just play a sort of droning bum 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 bum.
Did you take a... It's a bit of a weird one, really, because I mean...
That's the Mark Packham signature model.
Yeah, the Mark Packham and J. Cross style
of bass. Digitech are a bit of a weird one because they've brought out quite a lot of effects this year. Nothing that made it into the top.
But they've been trying to be boutique this year, haven't they?
Well, because they did
like the Polara.
The Polara and the Mosaic 12-string effect.
They're
and
getting creative on the artwork.
And there was the Supernatural last year or the year before.
Yeah, last year.
That was, you know, that was a great pedal. And, you know, they're doing some very interesting stuff. And I think it's cool that they're pushing it a little bit like this because, you know, they need to... Because, like, the RP stuff is just...
Oh, it's just it hasn't really
hasn't moved.
Well, it's just, no, it's just cheap Maui effects, aren't
they? It hasn't moved forward for a long time.
So, Electro-Harmonix Key 9. How do we feel about the latest in Electro-Harmonix keyboard emulators?
I love all of these, the B9, C9 and the Key9. I think they're great. They actually sound really good.
I think the people who use it very well get it to sound brilliant. I think loads of people plug it in and get disheartened with it very quickly, but I think you have to change the way you play and what you play.
You can't just strum chords. It doesn't work like that.
The funny thing is, I think you actually have to be able to play an organ or
you have to kind of know how to like stab at the the notes and stuff.
Yeah, and certainly when all the demonstrations that Electro-Harmonix had done of these, of course, sound brilliant. But it's because those guitar players, if you actually watch what the guitarist is doing, like his hands, it's very sort of counterintuitive to the way we'd normally play. It sounds just like a piano or an organ. And I guess it's just like that. They obviously can play both instruments.
Well, I mean, that's only in the same way as, you know, with going back to what we were talking about with the SY300 or the, you know, any of the Roland synth machines. You know, if you wanted to turn your guitar into something that sounded like a trombone, you had to play the guitar kind of like a trombone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you can't plug this in and be like, right, cool, I'm going to play Sweet Child of Mine and it's going to sound just like I'm playing it on the piano.
True, but that said, I think it's pedals like this that actually, if you go off the beaten track, they offer the most. Like, if you push them to their most ridiculous limits, that's when you get cool, weird sounds, and that's when guitarists can create their own sound and their own, like, palette of effects that they use. And I think, pedals like this that are designed for one thing, that have so many parameters that you could obviously push them way outside of it. I think it's a great product.
The B9 and C9, which are the organ simulators, actually sound really good when you like crunch a couple of notes together and play some like more discordant stuff. They just freak out a little bit, and I assume that the Key9 is doing the same. So weird bit of kit really, and it's weird that Electro-Harmonix keep bringing them out. Like, there must be
They've obviously found out how to do this.
Yeah, and have just gone, right, put it in everything.
Yeah.
So what do we get next? Do we get the trombone simulator?
Oh God, I would love that. I want a clarinet one. I wish I could play clarinet.
Well, what rhymes with those three?
B, C, Key.
D, the D9. K9. I want the K9.
And it just doesn't noises. Rhyme,
but I want the K9. It's just dog noises. Different types of dog.
I'd be into that.
Yeah, completely. You could have the dog from Turner and Hooch. You could have the dog from Beethoven. You could have the dog from... The dog in Babe. The ones from that one where they will have to run home, and Martin McFly plays one of the dogs.
Home Abound. They should collab with... They should do a collab with like a vocoder and make it sound like the dogs in Up.
I've not seen Up.
The talking dogs.
Yeah, they were great.
So the ACPAD MIDI controller, Matt Knight.
Oh my God.
Well,
this is just in here because it's weird.
Yeah,
it's not good. But they're supposed to be the best.
Supposed to be the weirdest.
I think the only thing is this technically isn't actually an available product yet, because it's still on Kickstarter.
Is it a Kickstarter?
It's Kickstarter 4 days to go.
It's made $14 so far.
It's actually made 259,000 euros.
€250,000.
Actually completely bonkers.
Yeah.
But acoustic players are there out there?
You know, I think it raises a good point about Kickstarter in the fact that there's a lot of people out there doing some great stuff on there. But we've seen products like this, like the Guitar Wing already before. We've seen products like this, and unfortunately, I just don't think they ever take off because, one, I think the people who... I think it's always the thing with demo videos, and same as we're saying with Electro-Harmonix, is the demo videos can make it sound great, but especially something like this with MIDI, is there's no instant gratification with this product. You don't stick it on your guitar and then all of a sudden
you need it to control something.
You've got to control something, so there's a whole load of other bits you've got to have for it to work very well. And it's a great idea, but I think not something you would necessarily... I mean, you know, I think Chaos Pad or something like that.
Time and time again, we see this sort of marriage of technology and guitars just fall flat on its face, and it is...
As a better product that I think we did have in Weirdest Gear last year was the Ibanez RGKB6.
It did. It actually got through to the finals of Gear of the Year last year.
Yeah, which... Did it?
Why wasn't it in 2014?
I can't remember.
Because it wouldn't have won, I think. I just forgot to put it in.
I think it might have been the year before. I think it was actually the year before.
I think it was probably the year before. It wasn't. Yeah. It was last year.
Was it?
Yeah. Because I saw them at NEMM 2014.
But right. The thing is that, you know, that is more accessible in the fact that it was a nice, easy touchpad and it had a load of effects built in and you could just plug it in and away you go.
Yeah.
Where this is like, oh, it's MIDI controlled and I think it's... I'm not sure if it's Bluetooth or, you know, it's just... I just don't think people... Oh, it's wireless. Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's a pretty weird bit of kit, though.
To be honest.
Yeah, expect to see it on the next crap Muse album next year.
I think something like, goes acoustic.
I think something like the Fishman Triple Play was better, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. And for me, I wouldn't put it in its top two. Great idea, great product, but I still think these products don't have
legs.
The right thing. They're not quite yet there yet to be fully usable by everyone.
Okay.
But, you know, that's the
beauty. That's what makes them weird.
But, well, that's the beauty of Kickstarter, yeah. Is that, you know, you can find that. You can find the. Go to the top of that thing.
I was going to say, no one's pledged just, the no, ultimate to, goal yet.
What is the ultimate goal?
$7,000 and you get a free concert performance.
But what you can do is you can, and what's happened here is you can find the 1,000 people in the world,
yeah,
who need this one thing and are willing to put, you know, back it. You know, that's what's great about Kickstarter.
Yeah. They need to sell 1,000 units and they've done that before they've even made it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, last product on this list is the Ranger FX Echo X Plus Igor. Now, I didn't put this in best pedal because, like I said, I don't think it's one of the best pedals this year, but it is very, very weird. What is the Ranger FX Echo X Plus Igor?
So it is a mini pedal delay with more controls on it than I have ever seen squeezed onto a delay pedal.
Okay.
So bear in mind, on a mini pedal, we're talking like Moore-sized pedals.
Three is the maximum, basically.
Well, yeah, well, exactly. Even the actual foot switch itself is taking up a third of your space.
Yeah.
They've managed to fit 5 controls on the front and 2 on the bottom.
Amazing.
When I say the bottom, I mean...
not underneath. That'd be ridiculous.
Almost the... yeah.
The bit that faces the you. The bit that faces you.
Yeah. Well, faces your feet.
Faces your foot.
Yeah.
Face your feet.
So 2 more controls there, and it's got an input. An input.
An input.
It's got an input for. It's got an input for the Igor. Their sort of touch sensitive expression pad,
which is in itself a bonkers bit of kit.
This is a. This could be in a double. Like a double pedal boss size thing.
Yeah.
And that's the amount of size it should take up, and they fit it into a mic pedal.
I just
think this is wicked. I think this is one of the best pedals that's come out this year.
I think it's just a great idea, the fact that, you know, it's got that effect send function, so the more you turn up the send, the more the repeats carry on after you turn the delay off. And what a brilliant idea. Nothing else really, you know... A lot of other pedals have trails.
The trails, yeah.
Which obviously is a little bit, I suppose, designated by the repeats function.
Yeah.
But the fact that you can have this send control, but then you can get that to oscillate, and you can overload the actual input for distortion, and it's still got an overall output volume as well. It's just like such an awesome bit of kit.
Also, just they've got the input and the output are top mounted.
Yeah, which saves so much space.
Yeah, exactly. Especially on a mini pedal, I find that when they're on either side, one of the biggest problems is actually that the jacks are sort of so big and weighty that they actually pull the pedal around a bit, even when you velcro it down.
And if you put it on the top, you're not getting that because you don't get that kind of sideways pull.
Exactly. Which is one of the daftest things that's obviously so simple to get around. Well, I mean, technically they haven't got around it. The Ranger FX pedal isn't flat. Is the best way I can describe it. It's actually angled on the top, so it's a wedge shape. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, deeper at the tops in order to accommodate the two inputs. But really, you know, vertical size is
doesn't really matter.
No, I suppose, and what else blows my mind is it is 0.5mm narrower than all other standard mini pedal stop boxes.
It's ridiculous.
So it's thinner
than a Moore pedal. Wow,
it is. An absolutely brilliant pedal. What a wicked thing to have for £100. That's all it is.
The question is, though,
and you could definitely fit it on your board.
Is it weird?
It's definitely weird. Okay. That's really weird.
I think the Igor really sets it off at the weirdness factor.
The Igor, I mean, that's the one we should be talking about. Like a microjack input.
I mean,
touch sensitive expression control that looks a bit like a bee's eye.
The funny thing is actually when I talked to the guy who makes all of these, and when he first invented
David Ranger.
Yeah, he.
D Ranger.
That's a great name.
D Ranger. He made it because he had a friend who was in a wheelchair. So when he used effects, he couldn't like use any expression. So he built it so it's pressurized so he could put it in his mouth.
Really?
And then control the frequency on the fuzz pedal with the expression pedal.
This
in his
is
mouth.
Winning this category. I'm that putting
is,
it out there now.
That this, is yeah, incredible. 100%. This pedal this is absolutely category. Brilliant. And so, you're absolutely right. It should win.
Let's pick two from that list of the Digitech Trio, the Key 9, the Acpad MIDI controller, and the Ranger Effects Igor X. Ranger Effects Echo X plus Igor.
I'd say winner, Ranger Effects.
Yeah,
second 100%. Place, Key 9.
I'd probably.
Or
agree
do we go the
you?
Trio?
I'd probably go Trio.
Actually, I could probably be swayed to the Trio.
I mean, the Trio is definitely weirder.
We've already had the B9 and the C9, so we know what they do, and it's not anything new in the sense of.
No. Yeah, okay, I'm cool with the Trio, but I'm really glad the Ranger Effects one. I have to be honest, I think I would have been, if this had gone into pedals, I would have been fighting for it into the top five to seed pretty highly there.
I think it probably wouldn't have made my top five, but now it's got a chance in the Gear of the Year finals.
Wicked.
So, there we go, the Ranger Effects, Echo X and Igor is our weirdest bit of kit in 2015.
Everyone go and buy it.
Yes.
99 quid.
91.
Get it for Christmas.
91 quid.
£91.
Crazy.
For goodness sake.
And the Digitech Trio is the run up. So both of those will be joining the Gibson 2016 Les Paul Traditional, the Line 6 Variax Standard, the Boss ES8, the TC Polytune Clip, the Roland JC40, the PV Classic 20 Mini, the Blackstar Fly 3, the Strymon Deco, the Boss DD500, the Montreal Assembly Counter 5 in our finals of Gear of the Year.
Wow, that's great. Gear. I have to say quickly on the Ranger Effects, also the Igor that comes with it, it's not linked to it. It fits via a mini jack. So
it's detachable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you could put a jack adapter on that, and you can use that as an expression pad with anything.
Yep.
That takes expression, which is double win.
Coming up on the podcast tomorrow, we've got Best Bass Product 2015 and Listener Choice 2015. We'll see you then.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.